I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mr. Secretary, what is the maximum number of illegal migrants you believe we should admit into this country?
Congressman, it is our responsibility to enforce the laws that Congress has passed, and that is indeed what we are doing. Individuals who do not have...
So is there a limit? Yes or no?
Congressman, individuals who make a claim for relief under our laws... And who
you've already released more than 2.1 million illegal immigrants into this country since you took office. That's a population the size of the state of Nebraska. While the Border Patrol has been consumed by taking names and changing diapers at the border, 1.5 million known gotaways have illegally entered the country as well. That's an additional illegal population the size of the state of Hawaii.
In other words, we've got numerous uncounted illegals in this country, and the head of our Department of Homeland Security doesn't really have any numbers. That was part of the hearing of Mayorkas being grilled yesterday, and we're going to get into it in more detail. There's also another hearing underway today involving the Afghan debacle as to how we pulled out of Afghanistan. When are we going to get some real solid answers? Not likely unless we press and press over and over again. As always, I appreciate you joining us. Here we are, July 27th, 2022, 23 rather. Almost fell back a year. And at the same time, if I had fallen back a year, nothing's really changed, has it? We always appreciate you joining us and reminding you that during the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday, we do air live stream. You can join us live in studio. Numerous ways to do so. You can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter. You can go to News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter, or find us on rumble.com using either one of those. If you can't catch it live, you can always pull it up later as a podcast. We make everything available for you. And reminding you, of course, the 6 o'clock program, we're always glad to bring you the very latest, so glad to have you on board for that. So here's Mayorkas in this testimony as Republicans in the Homeland Security, or rather in the House Judiciary Committee, were pressing for, give us some numbers, give us some idea of what you're doing to protect this nation, because we're not seeing it. Well, Alejandro Mayorkas continues to pat himself on the back.
Under President Biden's leadership, we have led the largest expansion of lawful, safe, and orderly pathways for people to seek humanitarian relief under our laws. At the same time, imposing tougher consequences on those who instead resort to the ruthless smuggling organizations that prey on the most vulnerable. We secured the first increase in Border Patrol agent hiring in more than a decade, and our campaign to disrupt and dismantle human smuggling networks has resulted in the arrest of nearly 14,000 smugglers.
Well, now, 14,000 smugglers being arrested. Congratulations. How many have not been arrested? How many have been smuggled into this country by the cartels in human trafficking, much less coming in as adults to maybe take part in America as we want them to, if they're going to be here, or maybe to create more crime and mayhem? We've got no idea. He doesn't have any idea. And in fact, members of the Judiciary Committee say, basically, you're looking at a man who's derelict in his duties, which is leading and pointing toward impeachment for failing to uphold his duties. And one of those would be the most important for Mayorkas. When they take the oath of office, swear to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He has done none of that. Of course, he has a commander-in-chief that's not helping out either. Mayorkas continues, though, to just brag on we are doing so good.
The DHS workforce does all of this with honor, integrity, and the resolve to safeguard our people, our homeland, and our values. They perform bravely despite public attacks on their character and service, despite unfair and inadequate pay, and despite, as frontline agents repeatedly tell me, threats made against them and their families. These public servants deserve better. Supporting the men and women of DHS has been my top priority since taking office.
No, it has not. It has not been. And yes, they do deserve better. They deserve better than you. Just like the FBI agents deserve better than Christopher Wray. And all those working in the Department of Justice deserve better than Merrick Garland. The nation deserves better than Joe Biden and how he's been handling this nation from the beginning.
So once again, I would ask you, what is the limit, or is there one?
Congressman, last year we expelled or removed approximately 1.4 million people who did not have a legal basis to remain in the United States, the largest number in recent history.
Well, actually, you testified that 72,000 illegal migrants were removed in 2022. But in 2019, there were 267,000 removals. So removals are down under your administration by more than 75%. Meanwhile, in 2019, there were 458,000 border encounters, yet under your policies, we're now up to 2.3 million encounters. That's five times as many. So while encounters were up five times, removals are down by 75%.
In other words, it's a zero-sum game. There are members of Congress, Republicans, I'll make sure to point that out to you. The Democrats are sitting on their hands. And how they can continue to do that and ignore what's happening in this country just underscores the mind of many. They don't really care about the future of this country, much less trying to preserve what we have, nor for the future. Many Republicans calling this appearance yesterday by Mayorkas a charade, a circus. I certainly go along with those. There are also comments, Congressman Buck, Republican from Colorado, said, we see you, our constituents in my office, see you as a traitor. And we blame you also for fentanyl poisoning deaths. He added in specific, Mr. Secretary, it is your responsibility to secure our border against fentanyl trafficking. This fentanyl killing thousands of Americans every year is a direct result of your dereliction. And then Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican Arizona, who's filed one of those impeachment resolutions against Mayorkas, was asking him constantly about whether he and Biden are responsible for guidance in instructing immigration agents to prioritize arresting immigrants who threaten public safety and national security. Mayorkas would not answer directly, to which Congressman Biggs said, disgusting. Now, you know, the Department of Homeland Security made a big deal some time ago about we're going to make things easier at the border. There won't be such a swell of people. We won't have people all gathered up in these camps because it looks bad. It's a bad image. They know that. It's a bad-looking image for them, so they want to make it go away. So they set up these NGOs, non-government organizations, south of the border, so folks could sign up in advance to get a pass that I've been given clearance to come into the U.S. while I'm having my claim for asylum processed. Or they are given an app and shown how to use the app and get on the app, and therefore they can go directly and get cleared immediately so they can just simply come across the border. Every one of those points I just laid out for you is simply another way to make our border disappear. I mean, we have not had a solid border, and we tried to put one in place. Abbott down in Texas, the governor putting these big cable balls up and down parts of the river where maybe folks can't swim over them, can't get under them, and try to climb over them, they fall back in. And the government is suing him to take them down. They're not doing a thing to help out. Now, back to these apps that are out there. Their idea was that this would make it a more orderly process. You can call it what you want, but what you're doing is you're escalating the number of illegals coming into the country.
You announced the CB1 app this year. It allows migrants to bypass the southern border and enter directly into the United States at ports of entry. This program began with up to 1,000 illegal migrants a day. It's been amped up to as many as 1,500 a day. That's more than 540,000. That's the population equivalent of adding a new state of Wyoming every single year. That's why the numbers are dropping. Instead of them coming in through the southern border, you're bringing them directly into ports of entry. So please don't dissemble.
But that's what they want to do. They want to break the numbers down and make it appear, see, we got this under control. That way we reduce the numbers. They don't look so big and dangerous. But they are. They're dangerous as an individual level for some families who've suffered a fentanyl death poisoning or have had one of their children raped, murdered by an illegal in the country. And they're not really that concerned about it because it doesn't affect them. Now, when Abbott and DeSantis began sending busloads to the north, which Biden was already, by the way, flying illegals into the interior of the country, overnight not telling anyone they're coming, then suddenly some Democrats got concerned because now it's on my backyard. But we're going to have to see something really done hard to make it clear you have violated our nation by your actions and lack of actions. Well, there are still shockwaves racing around the world, basically, with what happened with Hunter Biden yesterday and what could still happen.
Hunter Biden's plea deal collapses yesterday as he pleads not guilty to tax evasion. The judge balked at the immunity that his team wanted for everything, as it was revealed that he is, in fact, under federal investigation for possible violations of acting as a foreign agent. Judge Mary Ellen Noriega is also telling the first son to look for a job, not possess any weapons, avoid drugs and alcohol, and submit to drug testing before his next hearing on August 25th, or face jail time.
Or face jail time. Did you get that? You know, obviously you have to avoid drugs and telling the president's son, look for a J-O-B because you don't have one. Oh, but I'm selling artwork. I got a guest coming up later. We're going to talk about this artwork he's selling. But the judge not accepting the agreement that had been set forward, and based upon that, then Hunter Biden decided, look, if they're not going to take the plea deal and let me off with just a slap on the wrist and I go about my way, then I'm going to change my plea to not guilty on these charges and start trying to fight them. In a way, I'm kind of glad. And, of course, the White House continues to insist from the podium of the White House press secretary, Hunter Biden is just like any other citizen, just a citizen. These are his personal issues. Well, then, why do you have a 5 or 6 motorcade filled with Secret Service agents escorting him to and from court? That's not just like an average citizen, nor getting on Air Force One with the president, or walking into the Oval Office, or maybe residing in the White House. There are not many average citizens who do that. And on this investigation as to how Hunter Biden has been treated and where it goes from here, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Well, I think the vast majority of plea deals are accepted, so I think it is unusual that the judge has rejected it. And my guess is the bar is pretty high for rejecting it, that the judge has to see something completely outside of the ordinary sentencing guidelines to do this, something that just doesn't appear to fit the crime. I think if you compare things basically to the only other case that was this high profile and then had similar type of charges, it would be the Paul Manafort case. And I think his sentences added up to 20 years. He was ultimately, through the sentencing guideline, I think, given 7.5 years. And then we're comparing that with at least as bad, probably worse, because I don't think there were any accusations of illegal drug use or illegal disposal of weapons. His were tax violations and also not registering as a foreign lobbyist. But he still ended up with 7.5 years. And most people say this just doesn't pass the smell test. The son of the president gets zero. A Republican gets 7.5 years. And that's just not right. And maybe the judge is going to try to make it right.
Well, at least the judge is not going to accept it as presented. All wrapped up, everything put away neatly, so he can walk in and then walk back out and feel really good it's all solved. Well, it's not solved. The judge, of course, in issuing those declarations, you must stay away from drugs. In other words, do not go near that locker in the White House where they found the cocaine again. Somebody put out a meme yesterday, sent it to me, that's showing a alleged baggie of cocaine on a courtroom chair, that Hunter left this behind when he left the court. They've set themselves up for that. But Hunter continues to insist through his lawyers he's not doing anything that illegal, I guess. His lawyer today admitted, I should say yesterday, that Hunter Biden had received $664,000 from China Energy Company that's controlled by the communists. $664,000. See, the idea with this plea deal was the taxes are going to be paid that he did not report, and any penalties, so forth, and basically he would stay away from guns and everything be good. No, it's not. Now, we come down to the system that we're seeing in place right now and how it's going down. Everyone in America, and even if you're a hard progressive, you have to acknowledge, and in fact, you're probably gleefully celebrating, this is now a double-tier justice system.
It's amazing the audacity. You know, they impeached President Trump because he wanted to expose this, and it turns out that it's maybe largely true. We don't know all the facts yet, but there's indications that they were accepting money, and there was corruption, and that Biden basically threatened the foreign aid, quid pro quo, stop investigating my son's company, or you don't get your foreign aid. We're going to stop $1 billion. My goodness, that's just extraordinary. And the fact that this really hasn't caught up to him through the mainstream media yet, I think ultimately it will. But the good news is the House is controlled by people who want to get to the bottom of this and find the truth. And so I think we are going to find out quite a bit more about this.
Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, Republican. I've got a guest coming up. We're going to talk about this major Democrat donor who decided to purchase one of those fabulous Hunter Biden paintings. When and how and why and what was the quid pro quo for that. And also the UFO hearings that began yesterday, revealing something very interesting. Bodies found at crash sites. Bodies found at crash sites of suspected UFOs as testimony on record yesterday. Not exactly human. The man testifying, you're going to hear from shortly. And there's some things he says, I still can't tell you. So the government's still not releasing everything. A lot to come. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So as it was reported by the New York Times back in July 2021, the White House rolling out a game plan so Hunter Biden could sell his works and make some money. And he's entitled to do so as a private citizen or as a member of the Biden family. You do artwork, you can get somebody to buy it, so be it. But who's buying it, and for why, and what do they get in return? And for how much? Is it another way to laundering money? My next guest has been doing a pretty good deep dive on that, Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. Sean, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. It's great to be back.
Well, before we get into your specific article, your colleague, Margo Cleveland, was commenting about the entire event with the bribery case, the gun charges, everything else involving Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And she points out this whole thing has never been about Hunter Biden, even his sordid sex life or the drug abuse or even trying to conceal a way to get money by paintings. All of this is about Joe Biden's abuse of power and the cover-up. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with those sentiments. And what's very notable is that at one point during yesterday's whole plea agreement hearing is that the judge in this case asked federal prosecutors, you know, is there essentially an ongoing investigation into Hunter Biden? And they confirmed, yes, that's the case. And then she comes back and she says, well, how can you plead guilty to part of an investigation when there's still an investigation that's going on? And I think that's what's giving a lot of Americans who are actually paying attention to this and being informed of it by media that's willing to cover it are asking is, you know, this isn't anything to do with Hunter Biden, is it? This is something that is much higher up, has to do with the entire Biden family, particularly as it relates to Joe Biden. We have all of this evidence from the FD 1023 document from a highly credible confidential source alleging this $10 million international bribery scheme involving Joe Biden during his time as vice president and Hunter Biden as well. So it's just this entire ring of Biden family corruption that I think finally is getting the attention it deserves, at least from conservative media, but you can't say that from the rest of legacy media, unfortunately.
Well, the other thing, of course, he thought, and based upon the plea deal, this would put everything to rest, and part of it is going to be, I'm walking out of here immunity-free going forward, that they nothing else can be filed and charged against me. That was a concept from the beginning that said, no way.
Yeah, that was something that his legal team went into court thinking, you know, that they would sign on to this plea agreement and that would essentially give him blanket immunity for all future prosecutions or potential prosecutions and charges. But they said, no, that's not the case at all. So now they've backed out of this and, you know, where we go from here, we'll see in the coming weeks.
What I also found interesting, the judge saying the various things he had to do, one, stay away from drugs. good luck with that. And as I was pointing out before you joined us, he probably still has not been near that locker in the White House where they found that stash of cocaine earlier. But on top of that, to go get a job. Now, that's the kind of statement that says everybody knows you're a bum living off the teat of the government and daddy. Go get a true job and quit grifting. That's my take. Yours?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, Hunter Biden, when it all boils down to it, you have to ask, what are his qualifications for sitting on the board of Burisma Holdings, this Ukrainian gas company where he's getting paid $50,000 a month? What qualifications does he have for getting millions of dollars from Chinese bankers who have connections to the Chinese Communist Party for, you know, investment purposes? The only qualification when it all boils down to that Hunter Biden has is that he is the son of Joe Biden. Whether Joe Biden was vice president, whether he's president now, that's the only qualification he has for getting any of these positions, for selling this artwork that he has for hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's all about access. And, you know, not to go on a side tangent and kind of get off track here, but House Republicans have done a good job of unearthing all of this corruption. But the question we need to ask them is, what are you going to do about it? You can't just bring all of this up, and dig up all this information and this corruption and then just sit on your hands and not do anything.
Well, they've already been talking about impeachment, even up to Biden. But then they also say, let's get, and even Senator Rand Paul, and I will agree with this, let's make sure we get more information, get everything in front of us. But if they get all of it, then they don't act. And, of course, congressional members in the House have two-year terms. Now, many of them will return, and then we got to hope that the Republicans maintain control of the House. They don't have control of the Senate, so even if they did impeach, you got to get it through the Senate.
Right, and, they're not going to convict him, obviously, unless Senate Democrats want to get rid of him and have Kamala Harris as president, and I don't think anybody wants that.
But
this didn't stop House Democrats from impeaching President Trump over a phone call, and we have far more evidence, and I agree with you, we should continue to keep digging and get all this information out there, but we have far more evidence to impeach Joe Biden than House Democrats certainly did when it came to President Trump.
So let's look at, Hunter can say, I have a job, I'm a painter, and I'm selling my paintings for vast amounts of money, but do we really know, first of all, how much he's making off of these paintings? I think I saw one report that somebody bought 11 of them for $900,000. Now, that could be looking at it as an investment, and then not just access to the White House, but these things actually might be worth a lot more money when I'm paying for them down the road.
Right. So the estimates have been anywhere from a couple hundred thousand to anywhere in the low millions. But we really don't, unfortunately, know a lot of how much he's being paid for his artwork. Part of the sort of agreement that was rolled out by the White House and this gallerist in New York City who's selling Hunter Biden's artwork is that he's essentially saying, I'm not going to give any information, who's buying this, how much, to anyone in the White House, and we're not going to give the identities of the buyers to Hunter Biden himself. But according to this Business Insider report, that's not necessarily true. They've identified at least two of these buyers, one of which is a woman named Elizabeth Naftali. And what's notable about her is two things. One is that she's a major Democrat Party donor. She's given nearly $30,000 to the Democrat National Campaign Committee this year. She's also given roughly $13,000 to Joe Biden's campaign.
Let me stop you there. Let me stop you. Those numbers sound very small and insignificant.
Right, but she's still very influential in California politics. The White House has even said that she has connections to Nancy Pelosi, and that it was Nancy Pelosi who even recommended her to the White House to be appointed to this federal commission. But what's notable is that, speaking of that federal commission, in July of 2022, she was appointed to serve on what's called Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad in July of 2022. And, of course, the White House has come out and said, this has no connection to Hunter Biden or anything like that. But what they did not say was whether she purchased Hunter Biden's artwork before or after she was appointed to the commission.
And we still don't know, right? Did it happen before or after, or was it done? The timing wouldn't make a difference. They already had a wink, wink, this will happen if that'll happen.
Right. They haven't indicated that one way or the other. We don't know whether she was appointed before or after. That's still up in the air. But it's just very indicative of this very kind of incestuous relationship that we see in politics today where, if you do something for someone, you're going to get rewarded, whether that's appointed to this federal commission or an ambassadorship. It doesn't matter. It's just a very kind of gross relationship that you see play out in Washington every single year.
You're listening to Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. Also within looking at the paintings and everything that's been going on, and even the White House spokeswoman, KJP, whatever her name is again, saying he's just a common average citizen. He's entitled. He's dealing with his own personal issues, and the White House has nothing to do with it. And yet he's escorted to court with Secret Service agents. He goes back to the White House. He goes on Air Force One. He's not an average common citizen. His last name is, as even he admitted, he wouldn't have gotten one of those jobs if it hadn't been Biden.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because Queen John Pierre was asked earlier this week about something about Hunter Biden, and she says, oh, I'm not going to talk about Hunter Biden. And then yesterday when it came to the plea agreement, the White House puts out a statement about Hunter Biden, so having to do with the plea agreement. But it's also very notable how the narrative has shifted from the White House, because originally Joe Biden and the White House claimed that I've never discussed Hunter Biden's business with my son. I've never discussed any of that. And now the narrative is I've never been in business with my son.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this play out in real time, that they're constantly evolving, constantly changing the narrative. And of course, once again, they're not going to get called out on it by legacy media, because legacy media is completely blacking out any major coverage of this, unless it's from an angle that they can use to delegitimize any legitimate reporting on this issue.
Biden team learned at the feet of Bill Clinton. Deny, 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 and then change the meaning of sex.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what they're doing exactly. What's really interesting to me is that Joe Biden is already seeing, you know, if you buy the polls, very low approval ratings. And as this gets out more and more, I'm wondering if that's going to drive them down even further. You go back to the Clinton impeachment, and it kind of has the opposite effect, right? When House Republicans impeached Clinton, that kind of upped his favorability. So it's going to be interesting if House Republicans do go down this road of impeachment, how that's going to play on the approval rating of Joe Biden and how the country kind of views that.
One quick question to put you on the spot. Do you think Biden is actually still going to be there when we get to 2024 for the actual election? They haven't spent any money on the DNC on him, less than $1 million. And normally by this time in the previous campaigns, the campaigns have been spending up to $11 million.
Yeah, I mean, the 2022 midterms told me that predictions aren't necessarily the best thing. But my answer will be is that if the administrative state wants him to continue to be this puppet for them, then he will be that nominee. He will run again. If they find someone else that they can, you know, find that's going to carry that agenda forward, that's going to advance this Marxist agenda, someone like Gavin Newsom, who's been waiting in the wings, then they're going to pick him. But otherwise, I think it's going to be Joe Biden.
All right. Sean Fleetwood, as always, we thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Larry. God bless.
You bet. God bless. And speaking of Gavin Newsom, the state of California, the San Francisco mayor has a way to make her city better. Maybe start by getting rid of taxes and bringing back police. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm ready.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If I could do it tomorrow morning, I would get rid of most taxes on the books. I want to also be clear that businesses need to pay their fair share, but not at the expense of losing business as a whole. So I would completely reform the tax system to make it more fair, to make it more equitable, and to make it work for both the city and those businesses.
Wow. That sounds like a great idea. If I could, I'd get rid of most taxes on the books. Who would say something like that? A Democrat in a leftist city. A obvious leftist Democrat mayor of a leftist city. We're talking about San Francisco Mayor London Breed. She was doing an interview with CNBC talking about the problems and issues in her city in particular, not the general state of California, but her city's one of the hotbeds, obviously, for homelessness, drug use, things of this nature. And London Breed was among those in the progressive movement just not too long ago. What we need to do is defund police. We need to bring in ambassadors instead of police to go deal with some of these issues. Ambassadors interpreting basically to maybe a first-year student right out of a social studies school somewhere. Go out and talk to these disturbed people, see if you can make things better for them. Good luck with that. Hope you come back with your life. She has since realized we need more police. No kidding. She's also realizing the high taxes in the state and her own city are driving businesses out. And she said, well, what we need to we need to make it more equitable. We need to make sure the businesses pay the taxes they should pay, but not pay taxes. There's no common sense here. It's wackadoodle time. She's going to tell you that we can bring businesses back to the city if we tell them we're not going to hit them so hard. They're still going to pay their fair share. But what's their fair share? When you have fewer businesses, your share is going to have to increase. When you have citizens leaving, your share is going to have to increase. And when businesses do come back, if they can't get employees to come back at a good rate, then they're going to go back out again. And they have. And you got the homeless all over. I'm going to do a deeper dive on this in the second hour today, talking about the things that are going so upside down in San Fran, and it is exactly a microcosm and at the same time an explosive double volume movie on what's happening across the nation when it comes to leftist leadership. They're always dreaming of this pie-in-the-sky type stuff. They constantly are. They just see it that way. That it will work. That if we just do it our way, it will work. Well, they quickly realize it doesn't. And so then they have to bail out or do an about-face, or they got to turn around and find some way to blame. What's that guy? He's third president, and he's running again? Trump. Yeah, that guy. Which brings me to, once again, I told you this yesterday, this is getting ready to happen. Trump is now bracing for a third possible criminal indictment. A Washington grand jury meeting today, reviewing more evidence of special counsel Jack Smith and his probe into the effort to block the transition of power following the 2020 election. Now, before going deeper in that, may I ask a question, please? We know there was direct statements and testimony given to Barack Obama and Joe Biden when he was vice president and the attorney general and the FBI director at that time that the Steele dossier was a Hillary Clinton Democrat National Committee dirty tricks campaign. Now, you can't go out and sue and charge and make a noise over every dirty tricks. But this was so deeply entrenched and utilized and weaponized that the federal agents were lying to judges to get more FISA warrants to continue investigating Russian collusion involving Trump. If she was doing that, and with the help of the government to, as they're looking at here, to block the transition of power, take away the transition of power just to block the election and change it, why is she not facing any charges? Any charges? Now, when it came to a private email server, we all know and remembered the FBI director, Comey at the time, saying, despite all of this, despite all the things she did wrong, and it had some classified materials on it, and it was widely accessible to anybody if they knew how to hack into it, and who knows where it went and who got it and who got copies, and she didn't give us but 30,000 out of the 60,000. Despite all that, no prosecutor would move forward on her. And that was because Hillary Clinton. Same thing right now with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the Biden family. But if you stand on the conservative side, you don't even have to be a Trump person. They're going to come after you. And Trump, they're just going to continue to try to knock down in advance of the election. What they still don't seem to get, every time they file and increase these charges, and they're just that, charges, allegations, it's throwing fuel onto the fire. Trump just gets bigger. It gets more difficult for anyone to extinguish the flames and another candidate to stand where he is. But this Jack Smith has been investigating numerous ways that Trump and those in his orbit, according to The Hill, as it's written by their publication, ways that Trump and those in his orbit sought to unwind the 2020 election from pushing false claims. Just stop it right there. False claims is exactly what Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee were doing, reference the Steele dossier, pushing a false claim. They add to that in the article, pushing false claims about election fraud. Well, I don't know that all of them were false claims, do you? No. In many cases, they might not have been false claims. In some cases, they might have just been mistakes, and it didn't really constitute fraud, but it was still a mistake that needed to be rectified. And also going after Trump on pressuring Justice Department officials to take action, asking former Vice President Pence to reject his duty to certify Biden's victory. I didn't agree with Trump doing that. Constitutionally, he can't do it, but it had to be done as it was set in motion. Carrie Lake, of course, in Arizona, felt that she got cheated out of winning the governorship, and she continues her case. They didn't storm the Capitol, and she didn't do anything beyond filing lawsuit after lawsuit. And Trump did nothing on the Capitol grounds that day. And you heard stories, if you recall, the state media, the state-controlled media, quick to rush to the hearing of a report, of a report, of a report, of a report, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 20th, and second hearsay, that Trump tried to grab the wheel of the beast, the presidential limousine, and take control of it and drive to the Capitol when Secret Service was taking him back to the White House. And then the testimony that came out from the agents in the car, that didn't happen. But by then, it's like that bag of feathers I've told you about before. You go outside, 100 feathers in a bag, you dump them in the sky, all around the ground, you come back tomorrow, you will not find all 100. And it only takes one to be missing for someone else to pass along, and pretty soon they're telling you stories about you throwing thousands and thousands of feathers into the air. Trump continues to lead the GOP presidential nomination. He just released a series of videos on his social media platform, again, talking about the probes into him, repeating his claims that the election involved fraud, and using his favorite phrase that this is a witch hunt. There seems to be no difficulty with Hillary Clinton saying that he was not duly elected, nor members of the Democrat leadership saying Trump was not really our president, or members who refused to even go to his inauguration because they thought he did not truly win. There seems to be an acceptance on that side, but if you dare question it because it involved Trump or a conservative, just not right. It's not right. We may want to go cry about it and whine about it. You're not going to get anywhere with it. That's why you got to make sure you're voting. There are too many people, I'm afraid, right now that are looking at this election, even though I point out Trump, no one's within 30 points of him. Things could change overnight. I doubt it. But let's say they do. Tim Scott is gaining and leading, maybe stepping ahead of DeSantis. But if you stay home because you think Trump's going to get it, and you want Trump to get it, but you don't think, well, I don't need to go, he's got it locked down. Do not take that attitude. You make sure you get to the polls and cast your vote. If you want to vote against Trump, get to the polls and do it. I continue to say, if you're not going to vote, I don't want to hear you complain about it. All right, you know, yesterday Congress began trying to get more information about UFOs. I mean, a kind of a hearing that we thought we would never see in Congress. Something very interesting came up. I mean, really interesting in the fact that one source said non-human bodies were found near crash sites. Stand by, please.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries, yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
Wow, that's pretty big testimony. The questioner was South Carolina Congresswoman Mace, raising that question about were bodies found and whether human or non-human, and the testimony coming back that a member of the intel community, a former Air Force intel community, saying that no biologics and biological exams showed they were not human. That's David Grush, former Air Force intel officer. He was asked additional questions before that and some later by others, and basically saying, I can't get into those details without going inside a private meeting with you, like in a SCIF, a secure room. So in other words, he's making it clear that while they're supposedly going to be telling you everything about what the government knows about UFOs, they're not. It's like, why hold back 5 or 6 pages of the John Kennedy execution? What's in those pages? But again, Mace continued her inquiry.
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness, like how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a SCIF about.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so, and you may or may not be able to answer my last question, and maybe we get into a SCIF at the next hearing that we have, but who in the government either... what agency, sub-agency, what contractors, who should be called into the next hearing about UAPs, either in a public setting or even in a private setting? And you probably can't name names, but what agencies or organizations, contractors, et cetera, do we need to call in to get these questions answered, whether it's about funding, what programs are happening, and what's out there?
I can give you a specific cooperative and hostile witness list of specific individuals that were in those.
And how soon can we get that list?
I'm happy to provide that to you after the hearing.
So we assume he did, but they're not being made public. I'd like to see that list myself. Those friendly and also those hostile. What is out there? I remind you of this, our pledge, do not forget it. One nation under God.